Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome to Three Guys, One Up, part of the Three Guys, One Up podcast network. I'm Keith, your host, sitting here with your other hosts, David and Spencer. What's up, boys?
Hi.
Hey, yo. Hey. What's going on?
Oh, you know, same old shit. Making it through the week. Recording some podcasts tonight. Excited to talk about some video games and shit. So let's get into it. Let's start with some shit, because there's some shit happening. You know, we try and bring up some tech stuff, and Tesla's been in the news again a couple of times, so let's make fun of them some more. They have just told everybody in Texas, if you are a Tesla owner in Texas, I don't know if you guys saw this article, I shared it few days ago here in our Discord. They're asking all Tesla owners in Texas to limit their charging during peak hours so they don't crash the grid.
What a fucking joke. And both Texas and Tesla are.
Every Tesla owner in Texas's response should be, no, fix your fucking shit.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Oh, man.
Maybe we shouldn't have a completely independent power grid from the rest of the country. That'd probably help.
So a heat wave is expected to impact the grid in Texas over the next few days. This is the official statement they released. The grid operator recommends to avoid charging during peak hours between 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. if possible, to help statewide efforts to manage demand. It's laughable. Like, obviously, I'm laughing. It's insane because we haven't even hit the heat yet.
We're not even to June.
It's average temperature in Dallas for May is 73 degrees during the recent heat wave. They've been about 10 degrees warmer, around 83. And they're already telling people, like, this is too hot for our grid. If we're in May, like, wait till July and August. This is going to be fucking, like, I don't care if you're a Tesla owner, you're not going to have power.
Like, yeah, no one's going to have power. People are going to die.
Yeah, that's the not funny part about it. Oh, God. So, while we're on it, so let's move past that little Tesla story and talk about more Tesla cars blowing up. How about that?
Hooray.
Okay.
There were like three this week that I read about. One guy got trapped in his car. The emergency lever on the door handle was too complicated for him to work, so he had to kick his window out to escape this electrical battery fire. The other one that I read about started under the kid, like, this guy's child's car seat is where the fire started. Like, what? This oh my is getting God. Out of control. Like, he got the baby out. He noticed the smoke and everything, could smell it. But yeah, it was the battery, like, directly under the back passenger seat.
It's a great place to store batteries, don't you think?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you gotta light a fire under that kid's ass.
Well, I mean, it would be if it didn't fucking spontaneously combust.
Yeah, and yet here we are. Except, you know, they do, and it did, and it was under a car seat.
I think Elon Musk's official response to all of this was, "Well, only 0.03% of Teslas are reported as combusting, whereas internal combustion engines have combustion in the name, and they blow up all the time."
They're combusting all over the place.
That's fucking, oh my God. I how, and I guarantee.
Careful what you say here, Spencer. This is the smartest man in the world we're talking about.
That's what I'm saying. His stupid fucking followers, I'm sure we're all over that. Like, oh yeah, he makes perfect sense. Combustion, it's right there in the name. Also, you're sitting on a series of small explosions every time you turn your car on.
It's always exploding. Your car is always exploding.
Also, careful what you say. He'll, the free speech absolutist will censor the shit out of you.
Yeah. What? Now he's got a crack team of lawyers now, or whatever.
Yeah. cutthroats that are all about NDAs for his sexual allegations. Oh man, Tesla's having fun right now. It's fun for me to watch because I can't stand him or the company anymore.
But I saw a tweet. Somebody replying to him, his tweet that went viral about anyone that thinks it was cheap to own the libs never tried to buy a social media platform. And the response was about how he's got to be the stupidest billionaire to exist. Who the fuck does he think is buying Teslas? It's certainly not the conservatives.
Well, he wants to buy Twitter for $44 billion, and he's lost like $135 billion in his, through Tesla and everything recently. I think it was trading at like low 600s today, which is...
Holy shit, that's funny.
Like, insane for how much that's dropped over the past, I don't know, month.
It was a year and a half ago. It was sitting at like 1,100 a share.
Almost 12, yeah. But, yeah, fuck that guy. And let's move on. Don't buy an exploding vehicle.
Don't tell me what to do.
Moving on. I guess we didn't really talk about it much last week. I know David posted something about it. We might have not made anything big about it, but this multiverses game that's coming out. Did we talk about this last week?
We did not.
Okay. I know there was a post that David made about it. I think we talked about it a little bit with Shaggy's going Super Saiyan. Maybe it was before the show.
I think it was.
Okay. There's a trailer out, so check that out. But as more and more people are catching wind of this, they're realizing just how broad this IP really is. So they're petitioning to get Tony Soprano and John Oliver as playable characters.
As we should. A Tony Soprano playable character with the fucking cigar hanging out his mouth. Maybe he throws some gabagool, in the face of Shaggy or whatever. That'd be great.
Yeah, gabagool.
Is the reference material too heavy to get Zendaya's character from Euphoria in there?
She's just fucking passed out in the corner of the fight.
I don't even know what her fighting style would be, but I'm just trying to go the most entertaining.
Like a form of drunken boxing. I don't know. Nodding Taekwondo.
It's terrible.
Yeah. But funny.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited for that game to see what happens with it. I'm excited to see if they do branch out, and I think they should. They're putting like Game of Thrones characters and stuff in there. It's not just cartoons and whatnot. So let's get goofy with it. Let's take everything HBO has to offer. Barry?
No, Goofy's like, from Disney.
Oh, you're right. You're right. But Barry's just getting a new season. Like, Barry would be an awesome character, actually. Like, several of those characters from Barry would be great.
Like, super reluctant to do stuff, but then, yeah.
Let's reach back in time a little bit here. Who was that, what was that old HBO show with the therapist, with the, like, squiggly animation?
Oh, God,
you know what I'm talking about.
I know.
Wasn't that a
John
Lovitz show?
Damn, what was the name of that show?
Dr. Katz.
Yeah. What if they did like,
and it was Jonathan Katz and H. John Benjamin who did it.
A cab
was
driver
it H. John Benjamin?
Taxi
it
was cab one of confessions them, yeah. Or something.
Taxi cab confessions.
Oh,
I didn't realize Dr. Katz had 81 episodes.
Holy shit, that's a lot more than I thought.
Yeah,
it was a good show. I should go back and like watch it again because I only watched it like as a child and I barely remember it.
What show is this? Hey, if you want to hear us talk about shows to watch while we're on the subject, you should go listen to Weekend Watch, part of the Three Guys One Up Podcast Network. That's what we do. Is we make podcasts. We watch shows. We play games. We make podcasts. All right, nice. Let's move on. Blizzard news. Good Blizzard news.
Oh,
I think it's
I have
Raven.
Bad Blizzard news too. I think.
Oh, do you? I think we do. Yeah, I think there's a balance here. Raven Software successfully voted to unionize. So it was like a 14-3 vote, and Raven Software is a Call of Duty developer under Activision Blizzard. They are officially, I think, the first big developer in the video game industry to unionize like this. So pretty good
Fantastic.
News.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's really huge. I'm super pumped about that. More unions everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Get everybody involved with these games. Their dues. Holy shit. It's big, big stuff. I'm really, really pleased that they were able to get this passed. So, I mean, what else can we say other than hooray and Yahoo? And Yahoo indeed. So what was the bad news, David?
These stupid fucking nerds tried to quantify diversity. I don't know if you guys saw this. I'll drop the article right now.
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
They're so fucking tone deaf.
I saw a post on Reddit, I think, that I glimpsed over because there was good Blizzard news. So I was going to focus on but, you know, this is good too.
Here's the byline from the Game Rant article. Activision Blizzard's diversity space tool has brought on plenty of backlash for its tone deaf means of measuring diversity. And they've got a sort of hex graph here with seven different metrics that they've come up with to give each character in their IPs a score from 1 to 10 in the areas of culture, ethnicity, age, ability, body type, gender identity, and sexual orientation.
God, this is just bad.
Man, this is the definition of
tokenism. Like, holy shit.
Just looking at this chart makes me cringe.
You got to be a 7 on the diversity scale to make it into our games. Like, fuck.
This is just laughably... And tone deaf is the absolute... You can't get more perfect a summarization of what this fucking stunt is.
A quantified culture stuff?
How do you even do that?
Why does Zarya get a 0 sexual orientation?
Why
is Lucio only halfway up the ethnicity? How do you gauge what?
Who is a 10?
I don't know.
I have no idea exactly how.
Know.
And we probably never will. What exactly they're basing all these measurements off of? Because almost immediately on this news coming out, they caught so much shit that it was immediately discontinued. Good, but we're never gonna see how these nerds ranked the races.
Oh man. This is bad.
And the sexes and the sexual orientation.
What is the ability? Like,
was kind of explained. So Anna, since she's missing an eye, she gets more points in the ability.
Category. He's like mentally ill. He gets more ability. I'm looking at this graphic here, and I guess Torbjorn is like a little person, so his ability is really
high. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's what they're fucking going for. The more disabled you are, the more points you get in that category.
They gave Zarya a big boost in body type, and that feels like pretty harsh.
Essentially, if you score low in this whole hex graph, you're a cishet white male. And that's their idea of diversity is ranking the races based from the perspective of a cishet white male and giving them points and throwing them up on this chart.
Man, whoever came up with this idea was like, oh, we struck gold, guys. And then he took it to his white nerd bosses and they were like, oh, you fucking genius. And 2 seconds after they put it in, it was shit on.
Yeah, rightfully so, because this is absolutely fucking stupid. So we got some good news out of Blizzard and some bad news out of Blizzard this week.
You know what? Like, I good news is still good news. I'm not going. I'm not going to like go back on the good news that they are unionizing, because that's really good. But this is also really bad. At least they did away with it.
The union is progress.
It is, and that's
important.
Hopefully, it spreads throughout Blizzard too, because this is only one of those like smaller dev groups that's part of Blizzard.
Yeah.
So very happy to see that. Not very happy to see this diversity chart, diversity space method. Oh God. All right, let's move on. We spend so much time on Blizzard. Man, these major companies just like soak up all of our time, don't they?
They released the biggest news, unfortunately.
Yeah, and a lot of it.
And mostly bad.
And we do like to bitch. Yeah, we're kind of whiny nerds. So
yeah, okay.
Except,
we whine.
Yeah.
We whine so you don't have to. Let's move on. Let's talk briefly about Stalker 2, because they had to halt their development because of the invasion of Ukraine, and they have now resumed developing Stalker 2. I don't know what kind of a delay that will put on the game, but clearly it will put a delay on the game, so probably deeper into 2023, maybe 2024 before we see that. But it's good news that we're starting it back up, and hopefully that means other developers in Ukraine will also be continuing to develop their games.
You know why? Because Ukraine is not weak.
They are not weak.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like I don't know. I don't want to say shit's going back to normal over there, but it seems like Russia is being pushed back to a point where at least some portions of Russia are not Russia. Ukraine are experiencing something more akin to a normal life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some parts.
See how it goes.
Yeah.
But I am going to try to make a Seinfeld reference once an episode.
Was that a Seinfeld reference?
Oh, yeah, it is. You remember where Newman and Kramer, they're playing Risk on the subway?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Kramer's talking about how Newman's going to lose because Ukraine is a sitting duck. Ukraine's weak. And then the Ukrainian guy on the subway gets real mad about it.
How the fuck are they playing Risk on a subway? That very sounds carefully. Like a mess.
Newman and Kramer.
Oh man.
If you want to hear us talk about more shows and movies, why don't you go to the show weekend watch? All right, moving on. Marvel Snap was put out a little teaser. I think this was after our last episode that I posted this. It was just brief, like right after our last episode. But there's a little like cinematic trailer thing. It'll be on mobile and PC. It's a fast-paced, action-packed, collectible card game from Marvel. It looks decent. I might give it a shot. Put it on my phone. We'll see. Cool. Yeah, it's gonna be kind of neat. Speaking of card games, did you see this little gimmicky thing that the Pokemon card game is doing? It's actually kind of cool. Like, for being gimmicky, it's pretty cool. So,
I loved it.
If you buy a pack and you notice on the bottom left of your card where it tells you like which Pokemon it is and which number they are, you might notice that the Pokemon on your card is not what it may seem, and it's actually a Ditto underneath a sticker of that Pokemon. Yeah. It's actually kind of cool. So
that's genius. That's really cool.
It is. You can peel off the front of this Pokemon card, and it's not actually that Pokemon, and it's a Ditto card. That's I don't know. I think that's pretty badass. Really good way of doing a Ditto, right?
Yeah, I love that.
It's genius. I think it's a great idea, and it like adds to the flavor of that Pokemon so much.
It does, and I'm really glad they did that. It made me kind of want to go hunt one down because those are going to be cool cards to have, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I'm sure how long
unpeeled dittos are going to be like a huge collector's item too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if you're going to be able to like scan them and try and like see if it's a foily ditto underneath. I don't know how these are going
to
work.
I hope not, because I think that would add to the value of the ditto, right? Because each Pokemon card is kind of unique. Don't they come with different move sets and whatnot?
I know you so little about Pokemon cards anymore. Same. You asked sixth grade me and I could have told you, but I know nothing right now.
I'm right there with you. I am nowhere near as versed in Pokemon as I am in Magic, but this seems to be tickling a part of my memory, is that you can get two EVs from the same set that have completely different stats.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. That's how Pokemon actually works. When you're catching Pokemon in the game, you find a Charmander with Flame Breath and another one with Fire Spin, you know?
Exactly. So these dittos, following the same train of thought, could have, you know, completely unique stats underneath these stickers, and that's going to drive the secondary market value of them, you know, because this sticker ditto might be like a shiny ditto, or it might be a super strong one. I don't know.
Yeah,
I need to learn more about Pokemon.
No matter what,
this is the case.
It's a cool gimmick. Like, I'm not usually one to like hype up a gimmick, but this one's actually kind of cool. So
yeah.
If you're a Pokemon card collector, snap a pic of your pack that you get your ditto in. Share it in our Discord. I want to see your dittos. Show me your dittos.
Show me your dittos.
Oh, man. We need to hashtag like a
new gamer tag.
Show me your dittos. That is great.
All right. I think that's all I got. We just kind of hodgepodge of different news and things going around. So I don't know. Let's move on. You got a magic moment for us, David? Anything happening in Magic?
I do. There are a bunch more Commander Legends Baldur's Gate spoilers this week.
Let's hear about them.
I'll take the same tactic and just scroll down the Magic subreddit, because it's a nice nifty popularity sorting tool. So
yeah.
We've got Ragadraga, Gore Guts. Sorry, I thought it said Gore Tusk, but it's Gore Guts, boss.
Okay.
I mean, those are close. Those words are very similar. Anyway.
Are they?
Two? Yes. What's Gore Tusk from? That's from WoW. Yeah. That's definitely from World of Warcraft.
It's like the
Razor
Gnolls.
Fin. Yeah. Yeah. Those like boar people.
Gnoll Gore Tusk.
Anyway, so it's two red green for a 4/4 legendary human boar. Each creature you control with a mana ability gets +2/+2. Whenever a creature you control with a mana ability attacks, untap it. Gross. Whenever you cast a spell, if at least 7 mana was spent to cast it, untap target creature. It gets +7/+7 and gains trample until end of turn.
Good Jesus. God.
That's a lot
That's
of mana.
That's pretty fun. That is a very good... remember the... Who is the commander that we made Jason build around that you could only spend her mana on X spells?
X spells, yeah.
This would make a very good commander in that deck.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Moving on, we've got the Council of Four. Three
white, like this one.
Three white blue for a 0/8 legendary human noble. Whenever a player draws their second card during their turn, you draw a card. So that's you included. You're a player. Yep. Whenever a player casts their second spell during their turn, you create a 2/2 white knight creature token. This is a pretty good card. This is a very solid commander. That's a big fat butt on the field.
Yeah, it is. I love that.
We've got a gorgeous reprint of Basilisk Caller. If you're unfamiliar with what Basilisk Caller is, it's a one drop artifact equipment, 2 to equip. An equipped creature has death touch and lifelink. And
that's fantastic. It's been needing a reprint for a long time.
Hell yeah. I loved putting that on Niv-Mizzet. Remember in my Niv-Mizzet deck with Basilisk Caller?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rude.
Pew, pew, pew. All right, we got Ancient Copper Dragon. 4 red. For a 6/5 Elder Dragon with flying. Whenever Ancient Copper Dragon deals combat damage to a player, roll a d20. You create a number of treasure tokens equal to the result. That's disgusting. That's so gross. I really like this one too. Renari, Merchant of Marvels. 3 blue for a 2/4 legendary dragon artificer. You may cast dragon spells and artifact spells as though they had flash. And when it enters, you get to choose a background. We talked about backgrounds last week.
I'm interested to see how this background thing catches on, because it sounds like it could be cool, but it might only be cool on the digital. I don't know how it's really going to like affect.
It's not going to be digital.
Oh, it's not?
No, this isn't coming to Arena.
Okay.
I mean, it'll be to MTGO probably, but yeah. Not Arena.
Yeah, because this is a Commander set, so.
Yeah, this is Commander, yeah. The new Commander Legends draftable, so.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it like actually plays all these backgrounds and stuff.
So we haven't really delved too deeply into the mechanics of how background is work. I just pulled up the wiki entry and let me see if I can enlighten us a little bit more. Background is a legendary enchantment subtype introduced in Commander Legends Battle for Baldur's Gate. Backgrounds interact with commanders in commander games. So monocolored legendary creatures in Baldur's Gate have the ability to choose a background to customize your commander. The bonus comes in the form of an ability your commander gains or a boost to their power or toughness. Backgrounds contribute to the color identity of the commander. In this way, they function similarly to partner. So I think, because the way that Renari reads, when he enters, you choose a background, and you can have a background as a second commander. I think that background works very similarly to partner, except with an enchantment. You don't have two creatures. You have a creature who chooses a background, and then you have their background.
Yeah, okay.
So.
I don't quite understand how, like, when you choose it, do you still have to like pay the cost, or I don't understand that part.
Yeah, it's still a little, I don't know. I'm kind of a fucking idiot though, so maybe I just don't get it.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do a lot more reading on the rules, because I don't know if like when you cast the commander, you get to.
Is it just like.
Does it enter added with the background?
Yeah.
My initial just assumption right off the bat is you cast the commander.
You choose your background, and then you have the ability to play the background.
Exactly.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking, but I don't know.
And so, theoretically, you can choose, when you cast the commander, you can choose any background that there is, but obviously you have built the deck around a certain color identity and a certain tactic, so you're right. Probably only going to be running with one or two backgrounds.
Yeah, there's a couple that might synergize with what you got going on.
Yeah, but you've got the option to change that deck up if you want to. But anyway, I will have some more definite answers on this next week for how these rules are working out. As for right now, I'm all tapped out.
Very cool, very cool. Well, good stuff coming out of Magic right now. Excited to see how all that works. But moving on, let's get into some news. What we got, Spencer? Anything happening?
I got a couple of little things. Did we talk about Take-Two buying Zynga?
I think we...
Yeah, we talked about that
a while ago. Wasn't it a massive acquisition? Oh, it closed. It went through.
Yeah, yeah. $12.7 billion acquisition. Yeah. Yeah, it's official. It's done. Take-Two now fully owns Zynga.
Well, I mean, cool.
Cool.
I mean, more mobile Zynga games can only move up as far as quality, right?
I mean,
Take-Two
how much higher could Like, Take-Two is not exactly that much higher than Zynga as far as quality goes.
I don't know, man.
That's about all the time I want to spend on that. Let's talk about how Hogwarts Legacy is going to be using the PS5 DualSense controller features, because this shit sounds wicked.
Yeah, they have some PS5 exclusive stuff going on.
They do. So, for starters, spells will sport individual physical button resistances and feedback to make them feel unique from one another.
That's cool.
They're also isolating them to the right side of the controller to simulate wielding a wand in one hand.
What if you're left-handed?
Fuck you.
That's you. You're left-handed.
I hope they do. They haven't said whether or not they're going to do that on the left side.
If they can isolate it to one side of the controller, they can do it for both sides. I imagine it's not that hard.
I would think so.
I bet it's an accessibility option. Just go in and say, I'm a sinister southpaw. And
let's see. The light bar on the controller will have different flashing effects for different spells. And when you're not casting spells, it's going to radiate the color of the house you chose. So, cool. Like red for Gryffindor, green for Slytherin, yellow for Hufflepuff, blue for Ravenclaw.
Nice.
The controller will also simulate sensations such as crushing botany ingredients in potions, deflecting and disintegrating incoming magic using a shield spell, and also different sensations for when you're flying on a broom or a hippogriff.
I like sensations.
Hogwarts Legacy also leverages the PS5's 3D audio to pick up smaller sound effects such as a crackling fireplace and other environmental sound cues. That is just, it's really cool. I'm pretty stoked on that. It just convinced me to get it for PlayStation instead of Xbox.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because that's just such a cool, small touch thing to really, differentiate your version of the game.
Yeah, that's kind of like a Nintendo thing to do, you know, coming out of PlayStation. You know, Nintendo always likes to throw in little tidbits like that to how their game works, and cool that PlayStation is using their updated controllers and system to really make this game unique for themselves.
Yeah, really cool. I think that's it. We covered all the other good big stuff. Like, that's the way the news goes.
All right. Well, thanks for listening in this week. I think that's all we got. Yeah, we got another show we can watch. I've mentioned it a couple of times. You can find that over at our website, 3guys1up.com. While you're there checking out the other show, there's a mushroom link that you can click on. It takes you to our Patreon page. You give us $5 a month. We keep making cool podcasts. Or just podcasts. And what else we got? We got Twitters. We got Facebook. And is that it? I think that's it. That's all the stuff we got.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah. Come join our Discord. Hang out with us. Chat with us. Show me your demos. And with that, you guys have a good week. We'll catch all y'all next week. Adios.